You're listening to Geek Fallout Reloaded, the news and discussion podcast for geeks by geeks. And we are a proud member of the Pop Culture Pub Podcast Network. Well, hello, fellow podcast listener, and welcome back to Geek Fallout Reloaded, the news and discussion podcast for geeks by geeks. I'm your host. My name is Chris Lockhart, and joining me is my co-host in crime, Mr. Kevin Decent. How's it going, Kevin?
It is going good, Chris. I'm a little shocked. It's April.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, how the heck is it already April? Like, I still almost wrote 2023 today.
Yeah, I know.
it's April. I should be better than that here, but it is flying by. And it's kind of scary. Is this what our parents warned us about when they say time just goes quicker when you're older?
Yes, it is. because yeah, I remember it was just before December when I found out I was going on my trip to Houston, and now it's already like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah,
that just blows my mind. Like, it came by so fast. Or it seemed to. And then, yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, I was enjoying the spring down in Houston, and I came back to snow and cold, and now it's starting to get spring here. Like, it actually started raining today, which is awesome. It was just a few sprinkles here and there, but I was like, yes, I'd rather have rain than snow.
Oh, for sure. We had it was that kind of rain that there wasn't that much rain,
mm-hmm.
but it just looked so nasty.
Yeah.
For a good portion of the day, you felt like it was going to be worse.
Yeah.
But still, I'm like, it's just rain. I don't have to shovel rain.
Yeah.
I can drive in rain much more comfortably than I can drive in snow.
Yep. Yeah.
No, I'm just like, it's April. I don't want to deal with it. But you mentioned the trip to Houston there. It's funny how I'm noticing more and more from my life, I can think ahead to like the next big thing I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then once that thing comes and passes, it's like, okay, now what?
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, we have the usual, all right, you go to work and, you know, family time, or here's the shows I want to do, or books. Like, we have our normal everyday stuff.
Yeah.
But here's the thing I'm only doing, you know, for this holiday or this anniversary or this date or whatever, or this is my one big thing I'm doing this year. It's like, I think ahead to those things, and that's as far as my mind can go. And then, okay, what's the next
mm-hmm.
big thing? The next, you know, not the ordinary thing for it.
Yeah.
And if there's a gap in between, I'm like, all right, now what do I do?
now
where do I set my focus on?
Yeah. Well, and yeah, like the thing with going to Houston, like, down there, I mean, the flowers were out, green grass. It was nice. It was so nice to be able to go outside, even though the pollen was pretty high, so my allergies were up. Plus, I had a cold, but it was still nice to be outside. I love flying. I love traveling. I love going to different places. So yeah, it's like I wonder where I'm going next. I'm hoping my work again says, hey, you want to fly over here? I'd be like, yes, absolutely. Because it's nice when the company's paying for everything. But personal trip, I'll probably be Vegas next. And I'm thinking probably next year. Because my wife is still waiting for her knee replacement surgery. And that's our plan. When she gets it, we're going to Vegas. And she's supposed to get it the summer, so fingers crossed it actually happens. But let's kick off this episode, unfortunately, with our In Memoriam segment. So first up, I have Eric Carmen. He's a singer-songwriter. He died March 12th, and he was 74 years old. He's best known for his power ballads, including Hungry Eyes and All By Myself. And it's weird because just before I found out about his passing, I was listening to Hungry Eyes, like a, you know, like that just kind of came on my my radio feed. So, but anywho, another actor, unfortunately, M. Emmett Walsh, character actor best known for Blade Runner, Blood Simple, has died at 88. And this was March 20th. Walsh made appearances in movies such as Midnight Cowboy, Little Big Man, Escape from the Planet of the Apes. Oh yeah, he was in that, wasn't he? What's Up, Doc? Serpico, The Gambler, Slapshot, Airport 77, The Jerk, Brubaker Raised the Titanic, or sorry, Brubaker Raised the Titanic, Ordinary People, Red, Missing in Action, Fletch, Critters, Back to School, Harry and the Hendersons, Raising Arizona, Red Scorpion, Free Willy 2, The Adventure Home, Romeo and Juliet, My Best Friend's Wedding, Wild Wild West, The Iron Giant, Christmas with the Cranks, and Knives Out. He was equally prolific on the small screen with roles in TV shows such as All in the Family, Bonanza, McMillan and Wife, The Rockford Files, Beretta, Starsky and Hutch, Little House on the Prairie, Aftermath, The Twilight Zone, Tales from the Crypt, Home Improvement. Yeah, because wasn't he Tim Allen's father-in-law on that show, I think?
Is that what he was?
I think so, wasn't he?
I'm trying. I mean, I remember him being there, but it's been forever since I've watched the
Yeah.
show.
He was in The Outer Limits, The X-Files, NYPD Blue, Frasier, Damages, Empire, Sneaky Pete, The Righteous Gemstones, and much more. Yeah, he's just one of those actors that just seems to be in everything. But I probably the thing I remember him most was Harry and the Hendersons, because I loved that movie when I was a kid. It was one of those that we had on VHS tape, so it got repeated a lot in our home. And yeah, he was great in that.
Well, I mean, some people, you know, and it's nothing to be rude to any actor, but some people you think, how on earth are they still paying their bills? You know, you'll look at their credits and say they haven't done anything in 10 years. And I mean, I'm sure there's some other job or there's, you know, so many jobs within movies and entertainment and all. It's like, oh well, they could be working every day, but it's just not an acting role. But the ones you went through, and when I was going through when they died, I'm like, this guy is just constantly working when most people would be retired. And just credit after credit after credit. And a big time that guy. You know, as soon as the picture came up, I'm like, oh, I've seen him in 100 things. But I never knew his name. But as soon as that image popped up, I'm like, oh, yeah, I've seen this guy all my life.
Exactly. And yeah, he might have done really well with residuals, 'cause he's in some big movies. So that's the key, is to get into a big movie that makes a lot of money and lots of residuals. Then you're set.
Yeah, just get paid the rest of your life off of that.
Yeah, and that's what some people do. But anywho, March 29th, we lost Louis Gossett Jr. He died at the age of 87. The last thing I remember seeing him in was the Watchmen TV series. He was amazing in that. But yeah, again, you know, just one of those actors that's in so much stuff. And 87's a good age, so you know, it's too bad that we lost him, but 87's a good run.
I think my mom loved Officer and a Gentleman. Loved
Oh
that
yeah.
movie.
Yeah.
I believe I first saw him in Iron Eagle.
Yeah.
And I was a
Yeah.
huge fan of that movie when I was a kid. And then, I mean, Under Makeup, but Enemy Mine
Oh
was
yeah.
fantastic.
Yeah.
Just loved it. And I mean, that, like, those were the big ones that I knew him from, you know. So, I mean, yeah, granted, mostly 80s ones. But. You know, remembered all of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's probably time in my life where I was like, oh, he's my favorite actor. And I'm like, I barely knew any of his stuff. I knew, you know, a couple 80s ones.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot he was in the original Punisher movie.
Oh, yeah. He was the cop, wasn't he?
Yeah. That movie's... I mean, I'm not saying it's great, but it's better than it gets credit for.
Yeah, I haven't watched it in years, but I remember when it came out. Like, I mean, that was a big deal, right? To get a Punisher movie with Dolph Lundgren. But yeah.
Yeah, it's not great, but it's not horrible. It's just it's what it was for the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, he was in Jaws 3D. I totally forgot.
Oh yeah, yep.
Now that's a terrible movie. It's a fun terrible, but that's a terrible movie.
Oh yeah, yep. I'm assuming he just died of natural causes. I don't have a.
I think it was like colon cancer he had for a few years.
That's too bad. Yeah, normally I didn't have it here, but. And then March 30th, Chance Perdomo passed away. He starred in the television series Gen V, which unfortunately I still haven't watched yet, so I gotta watch that. And The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. He died in a motorcycle accident. He was only 27 years old. Yeah, damn motorcycles. They're...
Yeah.
I mean, I love riding a motorcycle. I used to have a trail bike, but, I mean, I wiped out a few times. And, you know, I was just lucky I didn't break anything. But, you know, like these motorcycle accidents... Oh, you know, I'm not allowed to have a motorcycle now. My wife absolutely refuses. I can't have a motorcycle and I can't own a gun. Those are two of her rules that I have to abide by. But to be honest with you, like, I've never been a gun guy anyway, so it isn't a big deal. Motorcycle, like I said, I used to ride one. But to actually ride on the highway and stuff like that, nah, I'm not. It's not worth the risk. You know, it's bad enough being in a car and someone sideswiping you. Someone sideswipes you on a motorbike and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't die, you might end up with a lifelong injury.
No, two of my uncles had motorcycles when they were younger. Both had accidents that, you know, could have gone worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I think kind of hung on to it a little bit after, but, you know, the writing was on the wall of, like, I'm getting rid of this soon.
Yeah.
You know, like, they didn't want to admit defeat, but it also just wasn't the same either.
Yeah.
I feel like my dad, I don't think he had one, but I think he had a friend that, like, he would just take it out sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was fun for, like, a quick little ride, but it was absolutely not, oh, I'm going to get this.
Yeah.
I believe it was my high school girlfriend. She's like, I hope you never get a motorcycle. And at the time in high school, I'm like, I don't even have a license or a car. I'm not, like, we're jumping ahead here.
Yeah.
But there were two videos at the time where someone died in a motorcycle crash, like a Meatloaf song maybe, and maybe someone else. I want to say Celine Dion, but I don't remember.
Okay.
And because these videos were on, like, heavy rotation, and she just had a thing against motorcycles, and it was, like, really affecting her.
Yeah.
Did not want one. I feel bad, like, I haven't watched Chilling Adventures of Sabrina yet. I honestly forgot about it, because it came out a couple years ago. I'm like, oh, this looks good. I just never got around to it.
Yeah.
And Gen V, I watched the first episode of The Boys, and I'm thinking, all right, this looks... I read the entire comic series. I have my thoughts, and any of my thoughts for things I didn't like, the TV show looked like it fixed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So again, something I want to watch, but for the content of it, I kind of need to watch it on my own for one.
Oh yeah.
And for two, I need to be in the right mood.
Yeah. I will say, with The Boys, it is my favorite superhero TV series. in that it
Okay.
like the special effects are amazing. The characters are pretty on par with their comic book counterparts. I mean, some of the more I don't know how to say it.
Mature adult
Yeah, they kind of scale it back for TV, and
graphic.
it's for the better. But yeah, no, I haven't watched Gen V yet. But I've also there's a lot of things I haven't watched yet. So, but anyway, yeah, it's too bad. 27 is a young age, and motorcycle accidents are, as we said, not very forgiving. This was before I was born. I had a cousin that got killed on a motorcycle, him and his buddy. But they were drinking and, yeah, got into a motorcycle accident and died. And I actually worked with a guy, this is a few years ago. I still know him. He recovered and everything, but he actually hit a moose on his motorcycle.
Holy crap.
Yeah, he was messed up for a long time, like probably at least 5 years.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to hit a moose in a tank.
No.
Like, let alone a motorcycle. Jeez.
Well, one of my old bosses actually hit a moose with his car, and the moose, because it was a small car, it fell on the top of the car and crushed the cab, and it broke his neck, like my old boss.
Oh.
So, and I mean, he's recovered. He wasn't paralyzed or anything. But yeah, it was years before he, got mobility back in his neck and was able to. But and now, ironically, he rides motorcycles. That's his thing. So, but yeah, for me, I'm just too much of a wuss to do a motorcycle. To be honest with you, like there's just too much. Life's too short. I don't. Yeah, just not. I wouldn't say it's not my thing, but like I said, I do enjoy them, but I'll never buy one or do anything like that again. All right, so moving
No,
on.
I can understand it. I can appreciate it. It is not for me.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I understand, there I'm not, again, I'm not speaking ill to anyone who might be listening that rides motorcycles. Like
No.
I appreciate my motorcycles. I appreciate motorcycle culture. It's just for me, like the safety aspect of it. It's too much of an ask. And like I talk about, like I used to have a motorcycle, but I used to live in the country. So I used to ride my bike in ditches and in fields. And I used to go on the highway a little bit around my house, but it's like we lived in the country, so it wasn't like it was high traffic, like I would not want to navigate a motorcycle in a city. Like there's no way I would want to do that. But I know some guys do it and they have no issues. So, kudos to them. But just it, yeah, it's not
No,
for me.
even on a highway.
Yeah, highway's not bad. As long as you're wearing your gear, it's gravel roads. That's when I've wiped out on gravel
Oh,
roads.
true.
And got like bad road rash. It sucked,
Oh.
but yeah. But anywho, that was a long time ago. That's when I was a young man. Now I'm an old. Now I'm a grandpa, so I can talk like that because I got my grandpa card. So I just found out this person passed today, and Joe Flaherty. He died yesterday, April 1st, 2024. Was an American actor, writer, and comedian. He is best known for his work on the Canadian sketch comedy SCTV from 1976 to 84. That's how I know him, know him best. And he was on Freaks and Geeks, and he was also Donald the Heckler in Happy Gilmore. So if you're a Happy Gilmore fan, you'll recognize him. So he was born in Canada, but or sorry, born in the U.S., but I think he spent a lot of time in Canada because he died in Toronto. And I used to see him on like doing Canadian morning shows a lot, so he might have migrated up here. He's the eldest of seven children. His father was a clerk at Westinghouse Electric and of Irish heritage, and his mother was of Italian descent. So yeah, I remember him being on SCTV. Oh yeah, he was also on Grace Under Pressure. Oh, Grace Under Pressure. I'm assuming that's based on the Grace Under Fire. I think he was on Grace Under Fire, wasn't he?
I don't remember.
So he played a guest role in Married with Children in Season 4, Episode 2, Their Consequences, as a recently divorced dentist who must repair Al Bundy's teeth. No, I don't see anything about Grace Under Fire, but... let's look at his filmography. So he was in Tunnel Vision. He was in 1941. He was in Used Cars. I remember that movie. He was a voice in the animated movie Heavy Metal. Oh, yeah. He was in Sesame Street Presents Follow That Bird. He played Sid Sleaze. I love that movie as a kid. I bought it. My kids loved it. He was in the movie Inner Space in 1987. He was a waiting room patient in that movie. He was in Who's Harry? Oh yeah, he was in Who's Harry Crumb in 1989. But he was also the Western Union man in Back to the Future Part 2, right at the end when he delivers that letter to Marty. That was him. I totally forgot about that.
Oh, yep, yep.
And he was in Happy Gilmore. Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, he was in that one. And then, yeah, so his list of shows, as I mentioned, he was in SCTV. He was in an episode of King of Kensington. I don't know if you've ever seen that, Kev, but that was like a Canadian comedy show that was pretty big even when I was a kid. I remember people watching that. He was in, as I said, Married with Children, Little Dracula. He was in Dinosaurs. He played the chief elder for two episodes. The HBO series Dream On. Freaks and Geeks, That 70s Show. He played a Mountie in the episode Canadian Road Trip. Yeah, a lot of ties to Canada. He played Father McAndrew for five episodes on The King of Queens. He was in an episode of the Royal Canadian Air Farce. He was in an episode of Frasier. Family Guy, he did various voices. American Dad, he was a car door owner voice. And yeah, he was in a Canadian show called Call Me Fitz. That was the one with Jason Priestley that came out in 2012. But yeah,
my God, I forgot about that one. Yeah.
Yeah, I watched the first season of that. It was pretty funny. I thought it was funny, but I didn't watch anything after that. But yeah, John Flaherty.
No, it seemed I never really caught on, but should have.
Yeah, yeah. No, Jason Priestley he was pretty good in that. He played such a good scumbag in that show. But anyway, that's all I have for this week's In Memoriam segment. So let's move on to our news segment. So the first bit of news I got is MCU report. There is going to be no Eternals 2, no Captain Marvel 3, no Ant-Man 4, as Disney gets risk-averse. So yeah, I guess Disney is putting the breaks on some of these projects that were supposed to be in development, but because their predecessors didn't do very well, they pulled the plug on them, and I'm perfectly fine with that. Eternals 2, like I still don't know why they didn't do the Eternals as a Disney Plus series. That movie was made to be on Disney Plus. You didn't, like, I know they wanted to do it as a movie so they could get Angelina Jolie, they could get Selma Hayek, they can get, you know, these A-list celebrities to be on this movie, but I don't think that was needed. I think the Eternals should have been a TV show, especially with that many characters that you're introducing. It should have been a Disney Plus series. So, hopefully, maybe they might do that. Captain Marvel 3, based on the Marvels box office, it's not surprising. And then, yeah, Ant-Man 4. I can't even believe they were even considering Ant-Man 4. Like, but I guess they were. So, Kev, what are your thoughts on this?
I'm trying to think.
It's not surprising to me. Like,
it's not surprising at all. And I feel like instead of just I'm trying to think how to word this. You can't just put the movies out there to put them out there.
Yeah, they've diluted the product. Yeah,
Because like we all got excited for Endgame as it was coming mm-hmm. up.
Yep.
And you know, in theory, we're getting Secret Wars, and we got something to look forward to.
Yep. But
the chapters in the story, each movie as its own chapter, have to be building towards the story at the end. And if it isn't, then why are we doing it? And it feels like some of these movies are just, well, we need a movie to come out in May. We need a movie to come out in November or whatever. It's like, but you need a movie to come out because it matters. And if we're just putting out sequels that don't matter to keep a franchise alive, then you're getting into like 80 slasher movie territory.
Yeah.
Where you're just dumping stuff out there to put it out there, not because there's an actual plot or need or any art to it, really. It's just for the money for it. And you can see what has more faith behind it anyways. Like, Captain Marvel for the Marvels. I like the Marvels. I thought it was a really fun movie. But I didn't see, like, figures in stores for it. I didn't see a ton of merchandise for it at all. So you know, you could tell that they didn't have the faith behind it, even.
Yeah.
I didn't see much for Ant-Man and Wasp. I still see Eternal stuff on the shelves at some places. I'm like, oof. They're still hurting from that one. Like, I've seen the toys still in package for like $5 just to try to get rid of them.
Yeah. Yeah, my...
So, but then, like, I saw a Moon Knight toy.
Mm. Yeah, my mom just actually bought me... what's the character's name? Not Apollo. Rob Stark plays
Icarus.
Icarus, yeah, because he flew into the sun at the end. Yeah, she got me an Icarus figure, like a little bobblehead thing from like the dollar store. Because now they're in the dollar store because they weren't selling, I guess, in the regular store. But I think the problem is dilution. You know, like, yeah, we gotta hit a movie every quarter. We got, you know, like, and you diluted it too much. And then the characters that you do introduce, like Shang-Chi, like his movie came out 3 years ago. And we haven't seen hide nor hair of him. And I know there's supposed to be a Shang-Chi 2, but that's still kind of like in the air. Like, when's he gonna show up? Like, I assumed like he would be, you know, showing up in other movies or something, but he just hasn't been. So, you know, it used to be like when Marvel was in its early phases, like you had Captain America introduced in 2011. He was in Avengers in 2012. He was in Captain America 2, 2014. Captain America 3, 2015. He was in Avengers 2 in 2014. He was always there. Like, you got to see him kind of evolve and stuff. But Shang-Chi, you know, we haven't seen anything. And that's, you know, it's a shame because, you know, like, that is a good character. But also, I think part of the problem with Marvel is they've got this cookie-cutter formula. You know, like, you know, you got to introduce you know, your character. This character has to have a quirky sidekick or quirky friend. Then he has to team up with, you know, another family member or someone. Then they have to have a big CGI battle for the climax. Like it's always kind of like the same things, just, you know, different shades. And, you know, I think that hurts Marvel because, like, Shang-Chi, like I was okay with Shang-Chi up until the big CGI battle. Then I was like, eh, yeah, that I kind of didn't like that. Like, Shang-Chi is meant to be a street level character, not Avengers Endgame level, you know, end of the world type of character. Not yet, anyway. Not for his first movie. You could build up to that, but so anyway, I think it's good that Disney is realizing, like, hey, we gotta, you know, we're losing a lot of money. And speaking of Disney, Indiana Jones apparently lost one, when once all the dust was settled and they tallied up the numbers, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny cost Disney $130 million in losses. So, and that's according to Forbes. And I could see that. You know, I can't remember who I was watching a YouTuber and they were talking about Indiana Jones 4. And he was saying that it was like a $320 million movie or $350 million movie. It didn't feel like it. It really didn't. Like, Avengers Endgame was, what, 225? 250? And it felt like it. Like, it was epic. Indiana Jones was way more than that, and it was not epic. It did not feel epic. You know, that being said, I didn't mind the movie. Like, I wasn't a big fan of what's her name? The character that in Indiana Jones' goddaughter. I wasn't a big fan of that character, not a big fan of that actress. You know, I think if they had cast a better actress and maybe written the character to be a little bit more likable, I would have liked that character. But you know, other than that, it wasn't a bad film, per se. I just, again, yeah, I agree with oh, what's his name? Dave. I want to give him credit, but I can't remember his name. Dave something. Dave Collins. Dave Collins Show on YouTube. Like you said, it didn't feel like a $350 million movie. It didn't. The de-aging thing was pretty
Doesn't
cool.
look like it by any means.
No, like the de-aging thing, I guess, was very expensive. Like that 20 minutes at the start of the movie, very expensive to do. But I mean, it did, like, that didn't look bad. Like, I was actually kind of happy with that, you know, seeing Indiana Jones fighting Nazis, because that's kind of like a thing. But after that, like, I don't know where that money was spent, you know. But again, it was filmed during COVID, so I imagine, like, they had to spend a lot of money to for COVID protocols and stuff like that. So, anyway, it's not surprising that it lost that kind of money for Disney. It, like, the story could have been better, should have been better. They should have had, you know, like I said, a little bit of a better actress. But anywho, not surprising. So, Kev, what are your thoughts on Indy 4?
I honestly, you putting the Endgame and Indiana Jones budget in perspective, like that's ridiculous. And yeah, I get the de-aging thing, which is gonna be funny as that gets cheaper and cheaper, like most technology.
Oh, yeah.
But you see, you know, like you see movies 10 million. Well, you don't see a $10 million movie, but at this point, like 50 million is a cheap movie, which is crazy to say. But you know, 50, 60 million is a cheap movie. And you see some of them, you're like, every penny's on camera. Like, yep. They used every bit of it to make this look amazing. And then something like Indiana Jones for $350 just seems like, oh, we're going to go over budget. No one cares. We'll just throw money at the problems. Eventually they'll go away. Like, because it has the name on it,
yeah,
they get this inflated budget and half-ass it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, they're... The thing with Disney... The thing with Disney, I find, is their nostalgia baiting, right? Like, yeah, we got Indiana Jones, you know? Like, you gotta come see our movie if you love Indiana Jones. But, you know, but people were bitten with Star Wars, you know? Like, they were promised, you know, a return to what Star Wars was in our childhood, and that's kind of not what they delivered. And then Disney has this reputation of poor planning and poor execution. You know, like going back to the Star Wars sequel trilogy. Who in their right mind thought that doing a trilogy where you have a different director for each movie and they come up with their own story for that trilogy, for their movie? Like, a trilogy should be, yeah, you have three different movies, but it should be an overarching story, not three independent movies. Otherwise, then what's the point of calling it a trilogy? But that's a little nitpick that I have. Like, I hate when people call things trilogies when they're really not. They're just three movies that are from the same series. You know, it wasn't planned out that way. So, yeah, I think people are just, you know, I know a lot of people were kind of shy going into the Indiana Jones movie. I was myself, because of what they did to Star Wars and to Willow, you know, because the Willow TV show came out just prior to Indiana Jones. And as far as I know, I don't think it's even on Disney Plus anymore because it was so badly received, they pulled it. So...
Yeah, and of course, with streaming and how all that's working now, too, so many of these things that are initially on streaming, there's no home video release for either. So all the people mm-hmm. that are trying to build up their, you know, DVD, Blu-ray, whatever collections of, like, hey, this stuff can be off streaming any day. All right, well, like, a lot of the series that they viewed on streaming platforms never got a DVD or Blu-ray release or any sort of physical copy. So... when they're gone, they're gone. Yep. There isn't a backup for them.
Yep. And Disney's one of the... And, like, go out on a quick tangent here. I've been saying for years, like, Disney has so much that they've created over the span of their life that isn't on streaming. It's not available anywhere. You know, like, they famously, you know, take their... movies, their animated films, and put them in a vault and then only release them every few years. And there's like TV series and all, you know, like now they have all these other properties, like they have all the Fox stuff, they have you know, like all the Lucasfilm stuff. Why don't they just start a company that can release these things on demand? You know, like if I want to get, you know, like the Disney Plus Willow TV series. Okay, it's not on streaming, but I want to own a copy because I'm a, you know, a fan. Why not, like, have it so it's available? So, you know, what Amazon does for their publishing, where, you know, if, like, for my, like, for if someone orders the book that I have on Amazon, they print it as it's ordered. Like, there isn't, like, thousands of copies sitting on a shelf somewhere. They print on demand. Like, why not do that for their films? And, like, especially the ones that are so hard to find and that, you know, there is really no financial incentive to put them on streaming. But, you know, but it still has fans that would pay for it. So why not do that? But, anywho.
Well, like, Warner Brothers has a Warner Archive thing that will do that. It'll do print-on-demand
yeah.
DVDs. Disney could absolutely do one.
Oh, yeah. And I it just blows my mind that they don't. And I mean, you could even, I don't know, tie it in, like they could tie it in with their parks, like just have it so that you have to go to the park to get them or something. I don't know, like, but anywho. But that's one thing, like, I found when I went to Disney, I mean, this is 10 years ago now, actually, no, this is 11 years ago now, when I went to Disneyland. I was surprised how little merchandise they had on available for some of their properties. Like, you know, like, I'm a big Muppets fan, and there was hardly any Muppets stuff there at the time.
Yeah.
Like, I bought a Kermit the Frog little statue, and I bought the Muppets Encyclopedia. Those were, like, the only two things I could find at Disneyland for the Muppets. And it just blows my mind. Like, you have this property that you guys own. Like, why wouldn't you be exploiting it? Like, why isn't there a Muppets gift shop? You know, like, I'm sure it would, you know, like, it would do well. But.
Well, I mean, if Disneyland, Disney World, whatever, is going to have, for example, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride,
mm-hmm.
then kids would need to know who Mr. Toad is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, same with other franchises and other movies and other Muppets and all this stuff that's under this umbrella. It's like, you own this IP. You own it. So yep. why not make money off of it? Anything you don't sell or merchandise, there's no stuffed animals, there's no action figures, there's no books, there's no DVDs, there's no whatever. You have fan bases for the stuff that would buy it in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just...
Well,
and they'll probably argue, like, oh, well, it costs money to make it. Yeah, but if you don't make it, then no one can buy it, and you can't make a profit off of this thing you already own.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like, I mean, like, you know, I don't know, like, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride or whatever. Like, maybe they don't have, you know, the merchandise in abundance, but you could box some stuff up and then, yeah, you go into, like, one of their stores and at the park and be like, you know, do you have any Mr. Toads? They type it on the computer. Oh, yeah. They go back and they, you know, pull out a box and there you go. Like, it might not be on display, but, you know, at least it, you know, you should have something there for everything, I think. But, I don't know.
Well, I remember, I mean, like, it was 87. We did a family trip to Disney World in Orlando.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one of the stores, and I can't remember, I think it was in Disney World proper, but it could have been like that shopping district tourist trap thing that they have that's not part of the park, but it is.
Yeah.
We walk into the store, and the entire front in this roundabout that was, I mean, as big as like a house, it seemed, in my mm-hmm. childhood memory, was nothing but stuffed animals of every Disney character you could possibly think of at the time in 87.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone possible. Once that I'm like, this character was in, like, you know, a random Mickey Mouse cartoon in the 50s, and here's a stuffed animal for it.
Yeah.
You know, here's the Rescuers. Like, I've never seen a Rescuer plush in my life, but here's all of them, you know. Yeah. Like, it was just absurd, but it was kind of magical in a way too. I'm like, I can't believe this all exists. This is so cool. This is amazing. Like, here's all mm-hmm. the Aristocats.
Yep.
It, you know, like, just random stuff like that that you would never ever see. And I'm like, okay, but this would make sense if it's like special for the park, and this being pre-internet too.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been special for the park, and make, you know what? Maybe right now they still make a bunch of those, and you can only buy them in the park. But with internet and eBay and everything else, I would have still seen them even if they were only in the park.
Yeah.
If they made a bunch of Muppet stuff, you'd have your Muppet collectors or your, you know, people on Instagram or whatever, like, oh, check out this thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I mean, I guess it's the same for Canada. It's the same frustration of going through a toy aisle. Like, what the hell mm-hmm. happened to the toy aisles?
Yeah.
There used to be tons of cool stuff. And, I mean, there's cool stuff, but honestly, most of the cool stuff is marketed to you and me mm-hmm. for the nostalgia, not to, like, my kid.
Yep.
That's a whole other rant.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I was going to mention, excuse me, Like Disney, they have some weird they make some weird business decisions. Like, I don't know what it's like down where you're at, Kev, but like up here, like they have Disney stores, or they used to. Like in Edmonton, West Edmonton Mall, which up until like 20 years ago was the biggest mall in the world, had a Disney store. And it was always busy. Like anytime you go into the Disney store, it's always packed.
Yep.
But they closed it like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. And I don't know, I don't understand why. Like it was always busy. But I heard that they closed a bunch of Disney stores, like in Canada. I don't know if it's like that in the States, but
they're if they're not all gone, they're almost all gone in the States.
Okay, like I just didn't understand. Like, how can you have a success? Like, it was a successful business in it. Like, I don't know if it's like that for every Disney store, but the one in West Edmonton Mall, because it is a big tourist attraction. You know, it's the biggest mall in Canada. Like I said, it was once the biggest mall in the world. You know, people come to it. Like, if they come to Edmonton, a lot of people will go to West Edmonton Mall because, you know, they hear about this giant mall and they want to go there. It's the perfect place for something like the Disney store. And like I said, like, sometimes there was lines. Like, you had to wait in line outside before you could get in. And then they just closed it. Like, it was just the strangest thing. Like, I don't get it.
No, and I was actually at a big mall near where I live. I had to take my mom up for a couple things, and we just stopped there. And we were both reminiscing on one of the treats when we were younger. Going to that mall used to be because the Disney store was there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, stuffed animals and wall art and T-shirts and just, like, you know, they seemed to have exclusives. Like, before any other store would have it, they would have stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, absolutely amazing things. And nearly all, if not all of them, shut down. There used to be a Warner Brothers store, too, which I love because it would have, like, all the Looney Tunes stuff, and mm-hmm. it would have DC stuff as well. And just so much fun. They're all gone. And, I mean, maybe it was, you know, these stores like, we got our catalogs and we have our theme parks and here's this new thing called the internet. And we can just sell all of our stuff there direct to our consumers instead of having to pay mall rent and stuff like that. But, I mean, that, like, I can't imagine those places didn't make money from people just walking in. Like, I would walk by those stores and go, oh, my God, this thing's here.
Yep.
That thing's there. Like, I still have a hat I got from a girlfriend way back when, because one of the Batman movies, all the employees had to wear hats that were baseball caps with Batman ears.
Ah.
I just thought it was the greatest thing in the world, and somehow she got one of them.
Nice.
You know, but, like, just cool stuff that you're just walking by, and you're like, oh, I need this.
Yep.
And you don't get that. Actually, I got to write it up at some point. I have a whole idea on, you know, to be, like, old man, here's how stuff used to be. But I've mm-hmm. been really thinking about experiences and fun and stuff like that we used to have that's just gone.
Yeah, I think about stuff like that, too. Like, even just, like, going to the gas station and the comic book spinner racks. You know, like, I miss that.
Yeah.
You know, browsing the comic books. Like, I don't buy physical comics anymore because I buy mine digitally. And I don't live near a comic book store. I mean, when I go to when I'm near a comic book store, I still check them out. But, honestly, I buy everything digitally. But, you know, I might buy, you know, if they were in gas stations, like using Barhead for an example, that's where I live. The only comics you can buy in Barhead now are just the Archie digests that are still at the grocery yep. store checkout aisles. That's it. I would say the comic books finally left, because they got rid of the spinner racks, but they still had, like, the magazine rack. Comic yeah. rack beside the magazines, but now both the major grocery stores don't even, like, the only magazines they carry are by the checkout tills. They don't actually have a magazine section like they used to. Both of them did away with those, so the comic books went away as well. And God, that's got to be like 10 years now. ish. Which sucks because you know, like back when I used to be into wrestling and stuff, I used to get at the IGA, I used to buy wrestling magazines from there. But now you can't get them, at least you know, not in my town, and the comics went with them. But anywho, I mean, I would spend like hours perusing the magazine section and the comic book section at the grocery stores, you know, if I could. But
Well, I mean, when my mom would go grocery shopping, if I was with her, she knew where I would be. Because sometimes I would want to, if I wanted something, I might kind of follow her with it. And it was usually like, all right, go and get whatever cereal you want. That was always my big thing. So what's the gimmicky character cereal that's out right now? If they had a little toy section, which some of the grocery stores did at the time, I would definitely be there for a couple moments. If I want to go way back, if they had a video rental spot, she knew like, oh, it's gonna take me an hour to shop. I could kill an hour looking at the tapes. And the big thing would be if they had a good magazine selection. And sometimes she's like, all right, if you see one you really want, I'll get it for you at the end. And I'd end up with, comic or wrestling magazine or some, Mad, something geeky, of course. But, like she knew no matter how long she's shopping, I could be there and I could be entertained and I'd be safe and, I'd be not being a pain to other people shopping. But like, there's nothing, you go into a grocery, a whole other rant. I got stuff coming up, but the whole, there's no reason to stay in there beyond get in, get your stuff, get out.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't want you in there long, and you don't feel like you're wanted in there long, so you're not gonna be.
Yeah. And I like the one grocery store that it's still in town where I live, but they built a new store jeez, 6 years ago. It's our local co-op. And I mean it's huge. It's a giant store. But the old co-op, they actually used to have up at the front, like on the other side of the checkout, they would have chairs set up for all the old guys, all the old husbands, and they would just sit there and shoot the shit while their wives are held in there shopping. And yeah, like you said, like there was a toy aisle, so like I would go check out the toy aisle or the because the co-op used to sell like Nintendo games and stuff, so I'd go check those out and go check out the comic books and the magazines and but yeah, all that stuff's gone now and the chairs are gone. Like I mean they have a little coffee shop there, so now, you know, the old guys can go sit in there and have a coffee, I guess, but it's not quite the same. Like it used to be you would walk into the co-op and you'd see all the old guys just sitting there, you know, shooting the breeze, you know. But yeah, now that they did away with that. Yeah, it's now to the point unless you go to the coffee shop and sit down and have a coffee, it's yeah, it's just get in, get out, and that's kind of it. You know, it's kind of sad, but yeah, it's definitely something that we could definitely do an episode of ranting about that, you know, how good things used to be. Did you have anything, Kev, for news?
No, there. I mean, I was debating on one, and now even saying that. So I feel like there's not enough details out. So maybe we'll do it next time, or I might hear more by it then.
Okay.
There's a comic creator that, it looks like he committed suicide a couple days ago,
Oh.
and there are a bunch of tributes, but then now there's other stuff coming out that, like, hey, maybe there's a reason that he did.
Yeah.
But, hearsay and allegedly and all of that. So who knows? But it's kind of like I feel like all the details aren't out yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But he had a really cool one called Hip Hop Family Tree that was like a history lesson of it and interpretation and everything. Just really cool book.
Yeah.
Many other things, but it was like, it's just one of those things, you read it and you're like, I feel like if I say something now, tomorrow more details are going to come out and I'm going to feel stupid for whatever I said yesterday.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, no, bookmark that, and yeah, when we do another Geek Fallout, we'll discuss it for sure. All right, well, let's move on to our brain candy segment. So this, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a first-time listener, is the segment where we talk about things that we're reading, listening, watching, whatever we're feeding our brain, and then we can give it a pick or pan if we so choose. So real quick, you know, if you've listened to me on these podcasts before, you know, I've been complaining about I'm so far behind on stuff, and it's a lot of it is my own fault because I get sidetracked. So one thing I got sidetracked on is I started watching Band of Brothers, the 2001 HBO series, which I've always known about. Like, even when it was coming out, like, I knew it was a good show that got good actors, but I never watched it. My intention was always to go back at some point to watch it. And it, for some whatever reason, it's been showing up on my YouTube shorts and my Facebook shorts. So I'd see these, you know, clips of scenes from Band of Brothers. And I'm like, you know what? I got to watch this show. You know, there's a lot of good actors in this. So I'm on episode 7 currently. It's a great series. I'm going to watch The Pacific next, I think. I'm told it's not as good, but I'm still interested in watching it. Yeah, it's fantastic. You know, 23-year-old TV series that, like I said, I've always known about, but just never watched. Yeah. And then we were talking about movies, and, you know, one thing about the Indiana Jones movie that came out last year is I've only ever seen it the one time. I've never had any desire to rewatch it or go to the theater to watch it again. But one movie that came out this year that I was raving about, you know, a month ago or so, was Dune Part 2. And I did go see it again when it came to my local theater. It's still a great movie. That is a movie that you can tell they used every cent of their budget for this film. Like, it's amazing. I've been watching Curb Your Enthusiasm because this is the final season. I was kind of sad because, I mean, it's season 12. They've been doing the show for like 25 years now. It started as an HBO special in 99, and then it got its own series in 2000. And they've done seasons periodically. This is the 12th one, so they've done 12 in total. And, you know, with Richard Lewis passing and Bob, Super Dave Osborne, Bob, I always forget his last name. But anyway, he passed away a few years ago. You know, these actors and actresses, they're getting up there, and it's time. It's time to call it a day. So I respect Larry David for doing that. It's a great show. The season has, you know, like I said, it's excellent. So it's good that they're going out on a high note too. So there's that. And then I just rewatched the movie Legends of the Fall. Kev, have you ever watched Legends of the Fall?
I have never sat through this.
It's great. It's a 90s film. It's a Brad Pitt film. I remember it, like, when it came out. I remember because my mom and my sister, like, they just loved Brad Pitt, right? Like, they, you know. So, I don't know, being a teenager at the time, I kind of thought Brad Pitt was just a pretty boy. I didn't think, you know, I was a little jealous, I'll admit it. I didn't think he was that good of an actor, but boy, was I wrong. He really is a good actor. He was a good actor back then. And those movies where I thought he was a pretty boy was Interview with Vampire and Legends of the Fall. And they're both great films. Like, they are really good movies. And I'm not even a vampire guy. So for me to say, you know, Interview with Vampire is a good movie is a lot because, you know, I kind of... I'm not the biggest vampire fan. But Legends of the Fall, it's, takes place in Montana, but it's filmed in Alberta. So, you know, they employ Canadian, you know, there's a lot of Canadian actors on this production, aside from Anthony Hopkins and Brad Pitt and Aidan Quinn. And it's such a great story. Like it really is. It's about three brothers and you know, trials and tribulations of, you know, growing up in Montana in the early 1900s and World War I and the fallout from that. And yeah, no, it's a great film, and I highly recommend it. I know in Canada it's not on any streaming service currently, so I had to buy it for whatever, $15 from iTunes or whatever. But it was worth it. My wife had never watched it, so she watched it with me for the first time this weekend, and she liked it, so it holds up. It's a good
Great.
film. All right, that's all I got. Kev, what do you got this week for Brain Candy?
Okay. So here, hang on one second. Okay. I finished reading Wonder with my kid. They did it at school as like a one book, one school thing. He was one of the few kids that read the whole book.
Nice.
It was one of the best experiences I've had in my life reading it with him.
Awesome.
So he was over one night and it was, oh, he's got to read this homework. He has to read like 10 pages tonight, 20 pages, whatever. So we read it together and he was already maybe 100 pages into the book. I'm like, oh my God, this is actually really good. So I went out, I got my own copy. I got caught up the next day to where he was. And I said, let me know how much you've read each night. So then it was Sunday before they were going to watch the movie in school on Monday. So the Sunday before, we sat down and finished it, read like 80 pages in one shot.
Nice.
And for being able to, like, every night for a couple weeks, depending how much was read, we would talk about it, what we read, what we learned in the story, how we felt, things we noticed. Like, we had our own little mini book club going. And the book was just so good. Parts made me cry, parts made me laugh, parts that surprised me. Like, it was just so good. He was disappointed in the movie, so there wasn't a rush to watch it together. I am going to watch it on my own
Okay.
at some point. I saw the trailers forever ago, and I'm like, all right, this doesn't seem like my kind of movie. It's Owen Wilson, Julia Roberts as the parents. I'm like, I really don't care. But after reading the book, I'm like, I just need to see how they interpreted it. My kid's complaint was, it's a 2-hour movie. They got rid of so much of the book. I'm like, well, that's what happens, like that's just what happens. And he's like, why didn't they just do it as like a 6-episode show, and then they could have done more? I'm like, I wish they did, bud, so we could have watched that. But yeah, I mean, like, he was asking me favorite books today and stuff like that, and I said, I can't compare in the same way of like, I don't want to say literature, but, books I've read as an adult for adults. But to read this amazing kids book with you and have that moment, I'm like, this is always going to be one of my favorites now for many reasons. But that was fantastic. Highly recommended for anyone. I read Becky Lynch's autobiography. That was really good. I think it's the best wrestling one I read since Mick Foley's first book.
Awesome.
A whole lot of like, hey, I'm a millionaire and world champion and, famous around the world, and I still doubt myself. And I still think I don't deserve it. And I still think I'm not worthy. I'm like, oh my God. It was so fascinating to read it. We watched, let's see, I watched G.I. Joe Snake Eyes, for another blog. That movie's awful.
Oh yeah. I remember when that came out.
Oh, nothing to do with G.I. Joe at all. It's a perfectly fine ninja movie. Like, I would have rented it back in the day as a ninja movie, but as a G.I. Joe movie, it's trash. Finally watched Birds of Prey and Harley Quinn, whatever the long title is.
Oh, yeah.
I liked it. I had fun. I had a blast with it.
That was I think it came out just before COVID.
Yep.
And I think that was one of the last. That was I think the second last movie I watched before the lockdown. And yeah, I took Crystal and my daughters to it, and yeah, like they were just. I thought it was good too. I loved Ewan McGregor as Black Mask. But yeah, they were just laughing. Like they just loved it. It was hysterical for them.
Oh yeah, I had a blast. And honestly, now that I've rewatched some and coming at a different perspective, I kind of consider the two Suicide Squad movies and Birds of Prey as like an unofficial Harley Quinn trilogy.
Yeah, Margot Robbie's great as yeah. Harley Quinn. Yep.
Yep. And next Geek Fallout, I guess we'll probably talk about the Joker 2 trailer.
Oh yeah.
That comes out Tuesday, I think, as we're recording this. Tuesday or Wednesday, I feel. But I'm going to keep an open mind for it. Very curious what Lady Gaga's going to do.
Yeah, I really like her as an actress. I like her all around. You know, yes. As an actress and as a singer and a songwriter and all that. So, as much as I complain about the Batman projects without Batman, Spider-Man yeah. projects without Spider-Man. This is one I'm actually interested in seeing based on my love for Lady Gaga. I think I might hit the theater for this one.
Yeah, I'm going to keep, you know, I'm going to reserve judgment, see the trailer, you know, maybe even reserve judgment until I see the actual movie.
Yep.
And then my kid and I went out to the theater last couple weekends. We saw the new Ghostbusters and we saw the new Godzilla X Kong.
Nice. And your thoughts?
Have you seen either?
No, but go ahead and spoil.
No, I'm not going to spoil. Did you see Ghostbusters Afterlife?
No, I still haven't seen that yet.
Okay. I like that movie a lot. Honestly, I think I would put it second just behind the first Ghostbusters movie out of every Ghostbusters movie in the franchise.
Yep.
It is full of heart, and they give everyone in there enough time to breathe and to give you reason to care.
Mm-hmm.
Frozen Empire, however, is a two-hour movie trying to cram all the characters in, plus new characters, plus our new threat.
Mm.
And it is too much for a two-hour movie. And there's some characters that's just like, why did you even bother having them show up?
Yeah.
They're barely in it. You know, like, whatever they were paid, you know, like, was it worth it for them to show up for weeks, months, whatever, for this little screen time?
Yeah.
And given their characters nothing to do. The main story is interesting, but you have this giant cast with nothing to do, and it just feels like a waste.
That's too bad.
Yeah. I mean, I like the movie for what it is and who they concentrate on and what's going on, but it's just like, if you're not going to use these characters, then why are they here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Godzilla X Kong was just dumb fun. Did you see the first one at all where they team up and they end up fighting Mechagodzilla at the end?
No. No, okay. I haven't seen that one, no.
Alright, there's world building for these, for the monster first ones.
Yep.
Does this world building make a lick of sense? No. No, for, you know, physics or any number of things. No. But do they establish, like, here's our rules for this world, and we're going to follow them enough that the movie can move from point A to B to C, and you just roll with it? But if you really sat down and thought about it, you're going to, you know, find holes and flaws.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I don't care. I came to watch a movie about giant monsters beating each other up, and I got to see giant monsters beating each other up.
Yeah.
Like, I knew what I wanted, I knew what I expected this movie to be, and it absolutely gave it to me. And, you know, here's the world building we can keep doing. So we have, you know, we can do sequels and stuff. Here's, you know, some silliness with our human characters, or just, you know, and the human characters are really there for exposition because the giant monsters can't talk.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, Godzilla's doing this now. It's like, oh, thank you, human character. You explained that well.
Yeah.
You know, like, I needed you to be on screen to tell me stuff, so I guess I can care about, you know, who you're going to date or whatever your personal story is, too. That really doesn't matter, but
yeah,
you need some reason to have them in there.
Yeah.
We like Godzilla Kong better than Ghostbusters.
Okay.
Loads of fun. Saw it in the theater with, you know, the speakers and the seats and everything to just go crazy for it.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's really fun. And now I'm debating watching the Monarch show on Apple TV.
Yeah, I've heard good things. I've heard good things.
Yep, because we ended up watching, we found a couple YouTubers, like those big ones that do all the movie videos. So we found a couple, like, here's everything in the MonsterVerse. And it went through the movies, but it also went through the TV show and gave us a timeline. I'm like, all right, the show looks fun. It looks like there's your, let's expand the human characters and the monsters are there as, like, you know, your Act 3 cameos or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's mostly about the humans. I'm like, it might be too boring for my kid, but I might enjoy the heck out of it.
Yeah.
And I kind of know, like, the twists and turns now because of these videos. I'm like, all right, knowing certain things are coming might make me willing to stick around longer, because I could also see this being a situation where it's so much about the humans, and I'm like, you know, like Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park, like, will there eventually be dinosaurs on this dinosaur tour?
Yeah.
Like, will I eventually see giant monsters on this giant monster show? But knowing, you know, being spoiled and knowing what's coming might help me stick with it longer.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, that's one series it's on my list of things I want to check out. I'm a big fan of Apple Plus. Like, they do a lot of good things.
I should check it out. That might be one, like, I might get it for a month, blitz through what I want to see, and then delete it for a year.
Yeah, if you do that, watch the Godzilla show, or Monarch, or whatever. Watch For All Mankind. That is a great show. I can't...
Okay.
It's one of my favorites. I can't say enough great things about it. I got my one of my coworkers to watch it, and he just blew through it. He was like, yeah, this was excellent. I'm like, yeah, I know. More people need to watch the show. It's so good. But all right, that's all you had, Kev?
Yeah.
All right. So before we go, let's play that little game of where we can find you on the internet. So for me, honestly, I haven't been doing the Chris's weekly comic book picks on my blog lately, just because I haven't really been reading a lot of comic books lately. So I'm still picking up Captain America by J. Michael Straczynski. That's still great. World's Finest by Mark Waid. Fantastic. I've been reading Mark Waid's Shazam because I love the original Captain Marvel. And that's who Shazam is now. Now they call him the Captain. Mark Waid is calling him the Captain in the book. So I'm glad that they're doing that. You know, I still wish they'd still call him Captain Marvel. But anyway, I digress. What else am I reading? Those are my main ones. Oh, the Conan the Barbarian by Jim Zub by Titan Comics. And they also just did a Savage Sword of Conan the Barbarian in the magazine black and white format. So I would love to get my hand, like, if they act, like, next time I'm going by a comic book store, I'm going to look for that, because I'm wondering if they're publishing it in the actual magazine size.
It is.
Okay. I want to get my hands on that, because, of course, I get it digitally, so it's scaled to my tablet. But, you know, I love those Conan magazines. I love that format. So, yeah. Again, by Jim Zub. It's a great series. And then, yeah, Dynamite's been doing some good stuff with Red Sonja. So I've been reading some Red Sonja. And then I've been meaning to go back and do and reread Kurt Busiek's and George Perez's Avengers.
Ooh.
Because yeah, I love that series when it was coming out. I used to buy it, issue by issue. I before Comixology crapped out, I bought all the trades on digital, so I have it on Kindle. Because yeah, they had like an Avengers sale. It might have been when Endgame came out. And they were like $5 a piece. It's like I would be stupid not to do this. And speaking of stupid, I don't know if this is stupid, Kev. But I'll let you know. So anyway, was it Sunday morning? I woke up early because sometimes I do that on my days off because I usually get up early for work. So the wife was still sleeping. I didn't want to wake her up, so I was just grabbed my phone. I'm scrolling through, and I seen this ad for this book liquidation place in the States. And you can buy entire, okay. If you go to Costco, sometimes you can get those, like, say, the Mark Twain series, or you can get the Calvin and Hobbes series. And you're paying, like, in Canada, it'd be like, I don't know, anywhere from like 50 to, say, $80, right?
Yeah, they might be like leather bound
Yeah,
or
yeah.
gold edge or something like that to
Yeah.
make them look pretty on a shelf.
So anyway, this ad I seen for this book liquidation warehouse, they had like these type of Costco collections. So I ordered the Mark Twain collection. I ordered the Sandman graphic novel collection. I ordered, and these are all $5 a piece.
Oh.
American. So yeah, they're probably like $8 Canadian. So I bought the Mark Twain collection, I bought the Sandman collection. There's like a cartoon called Bluey. I don't know if you know anything about
Yep.
Bluey. Yeah, my granddaughter's into Bluey. So I bought that collection for her. The Dr. Seuss collection. I bought that. I bought the is it Ted Pratchett? Is that am I saying?
Terry Pratchett?
Terry Pratchett. Yeah, his
Discworld?
Discworld. Yeah, that series. I got that. And then I got the Jack Reacher series.
All right.
And it cost me $47 Canadian for all of that. I haven't received it yet. I got an email this morning saying that it has been shipped. And one of the things I find so strange is it's shipping from Boston, but it's free shipping to Canada. So that's where I'm like, this seems too good to be true.
Yeah.
But I figured, I don't know, Sunday morning, half asleep, I was like, I'm going for it. Because I love books. And, I figured I'd try it. So I'll let you know, Kev, what turns out. Supposedly it's being shipped to me to Barrhead from Boston. Free shipping. Like I said, all these collections for $47. I'm really excited about the Sandman one because I have them all digitally, but I don't have the physical copies. I don't know how many's in this collection, if it's like the first five volumes.
Do you remember the site?
Let me. It was a Facebook ad.
Okay.
I'll call up my email real quick. And I'll let you know. Let's see here. It's NT. Okay. If you have a pen, it's NT Roll ESI.com. And that's where it's being shipped from. And yeah, the Terry Pratchett, Jack Reacher, Bluey, the Sandman. Oh, I got the Wizard of Oz too, the Frank L. Baum collection, and the Mark Twain collection. Like it's just these are the like I said, the collections that you would see at a Costco, and maybe I just won the lottery that day. I don't know, but I'll let you know how it turns out.
All right, yeah.
Because yeah, it was American. It was $34.93. And yeah, they didn't charge me shipping or tax. But Canadian, it turned out to be like 47 something. But yeah, it just.
Right, yeah, I'll be very curious.
Yeah, so I'll let you know, Kev, if it works out, and then, yeah, if they send me. Because that's the thing, like, I was seeing these ads on Facebook, but they would go to different sites, so I'm like, I don't know. Like, it. I don't know. I've ordered things through Facebook marketing before, and I ordered a walking stick, and I only got, like, a part of it, so I'm still trying to get the rest of it from this website. I ordered, it's the periodic table, but the selling thing is it actually has the real elements in it. Like, it's in one of them, I forget what, what's it called? It's like the clear glass stuff, that can trap things. I can't remember what it's called. But supposedly they were real elements, but then when I got it, all it was like, the clear thing, but it had like a sticker on the back with the elements.
Oh, jeez.
So I'm like, I want, you know, like the video showed that they were actually elements. Like if you turned it to the side, you would see them.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really cool. Of course, not the radioactive elements. They couldn't put those in there. Those were just stickers. I knew that, but all of them were stickers. So, I mean, if you're looking at it straight away, you would think it was real, but if you actually look at it and turn it around, you'd realize it's fake. But anyway, hopefully, fingers crossed, this one works out. Like I said, I love books. So, 47. Honestly, going to a bookstore for me, $47, like, that's nothing for me to go to a bookstore and spend that.
No.
So. Anywho, Kev, where can we find you, sir?
All right, you can find me across most social medias. I'm at Hellions Team. HelliansTeam.com is my home blog, and I should be having posts or other cool stuff up here soon.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, so I'm not sure what's the next episode. We're going to record something probably next week, so I think it's the Pop Culture Pub, but... I can't say for certain, but, you know, stay tuned to this network because, we do have, weekly episodes that come out. So on behalf of myself, Chris Lockhart, and my co-host, Kevin Decent, I want to thank you, dear listener, for taking the time to listen to Geek Fallout Reloaded. This was the news and discussion podcast for Geeks by Geeks, and we will see you again in the not too distant future. We'll be right back.